Well, tonight, if you have a Bible and would like to follow along with us, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews, chapter 11, the great faith chapter in the Word of God. Faith is mentioned some 24 times and referred to in just practically every verse in this chapter right here, and we know that without faith it's impossible to please God. And I hope and pray that as we journey through life that our faith can grow. We can live a faith life and that God would be pleased with us when we come to the end of our journey. But I want to look down in verse number 23 and look at the life of Moses for just a few minutes here. See what the Bible speaks to us tonight about Moses. Verse 23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned." Brother Tim, would you pray? Yes, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Lord, help me, God, I pray.
Bless him, God, abundantly, Lord. Use him more than out your mouth.
Yes, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Verse 24, verse 23, verse 27, verse 29 says, "By faith." In following each one of these statements, there was a choice made. And that's what I want to preach on tonight for just a few minutes. Faith choices. God sets before you and I every day of our lives choices to be made. And we choose each day to follow the faith life or follow a carnal path in life. God would be pleased with us if we chose the faith walk instead of the carnal walk through life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Somebody might want to know what faith actually is. Well, it's looking at that verse of Scripture, the very first verse in chapter 11, it's a strange verse in a sense of a way, but I can understand it. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. A substance is something that's real. It's something that's genuine, something you can lay a definition to and touch and handle. But, hey, now he says faith is a substance of something hoped for. Something hoped for. Listen, I don't know how to describe the meaning of this, but he says the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is something that's genuine, something that's real. It's something that you can look at and put confidence in, but he says it's something that's not seen. The only way I can describe it tonight, this thing of faith, is that, Hey, I can say this Bible right here, it's made up of paper and it's got some leather around, bound around it as a cover right here, friend, but it's more than a Bible. It is a substance to me of something that's hoped for in my heart and in my life because it contains the genuine, the real, the infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the substance of something that I hope for in my heart and in my life. And it is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is something that's genuine. Evidence is something that'll stand up when it's put to the trial and put to the test, friend. And let me tell you, this Bible right here is the Word of God. It is inerrant. It'll stand when the world is on fire. And it is the substance of what I'm hoping for. It's the evidence of what I see out yonder on the other side through eyes of faith. Not through these eyes right here, but through the eyes of faith, I can see the things of God is true. It's real. It's something that you can stand upon in your life. Oh, listen to me. But all these characters you'll see, they were moved by faith. If we have the faith that this Bible teaches us that we should have and we should put our confidence and trust in, it'll move us in our life to make the right choices in life. Oh, I want you to notice a few things tonight in this passage of Scripture that I just read before you, talking about faith. Oh, faith, well, it'll set a course in your life. It'll set a quality of life that's pleasing and satisfying to God. And faith, listen, our life, our course for life, is it can be set by our faith. You choose to go the carnal path, and you'll wind up in a mess. You better choose to follow the faith that this Bible has laid out for you and I. That faith that God has given you, friend, you better build your life upon the faith that's in this Bible right here. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 23, the stewardship of Moses' parents, the choices of faith that they made in their life. And I know there's many parents in the house tonight, and you listen carefully to the Word of God tonight. Moses' parents right here. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Hey, God gave them a little boy child over there in Egypt's land. They were under bondage over there. They'd been over there for some 400 years or close to 400 years, friend. But I want you to notice that Moses' parents, friend, they didn't let the circumstances of their life destroy their faith. Hey, listen to me. Troubles will often come our way and we'll get weak in our faith and we'll wonder where God's at. But friend, let me tell you something. God ain't gone nowhere. God has a plan and God has a purpose for your life and you're going to have some troubles. You're going to hit some roadblocks going through this whole walk of life right here, friend. But listen, don't turn your back on God. Keep your faith and look toward God. What He brings you to, He'll bring you through. Amen. They were hung up over there in Egypt, friend. God had given them a son now, but, oh, there was trouble because the old Pharaoh over there was trying to wipe out all the boy babies back then. The midwives were ordered to destroy all the male babies, to kill them. But you'll find if you look back in Exodus over there, they refused to obey the king's order. They saved them alive and they refused. I'm going to show you something right here that's amazing to me. Back in Exodus chapter number 1, in verse number 15 it says, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah." Not pretty names, but God put them in His Bible. You know why God put them in there? Because they didn't fear the king over there in Egypt, but they feared God. And God wrote their names in his word right here. And let me tell you something about old Pharaoh. God didn't even put his name down in this word. Let me tell you something. It's a fearful thing. A fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It's a fearful thing not to be obedient to Him. So I just want to throw that at you. Well, to always obey God. Not fear what man can do to us. I want you to notice in this stewardship of Moses' parents, God gave them a son and this boy was theirs. It was their responsibility to raise him. But, oh, listen, the king wanted to destroy him. So what did they do? It says that they hid him 3 months. And then if you read the story back in there, there was an ark made of bulrushes and slime and pitch, and they put him out there in the waters close to a place to where Pharaoh's daughter would possibly find him and have mercy and compassion on him. And that's exactly what happened. You see, they had faith. They had faith. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Listen, we live in a day, in a time when man calls evil good and good evil. Let me tell you something. Just because man establishes a law and says something's all right to do don't mean it's all right in God's eyes. Let me tell you this thing of same-sex marriage. It don't matter to me if Obama and every leader in this world okays it. It's not all right in God's eyes. Let me tell you, it's just cause alcohol's legal to go down here to the package store and buy it. It ain't all right in God's eyes to go drink it. Well, there's a lot of things that man would legalize and say it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. But what does God say about it? What does God? He's the authority. He's the final authority. He's the one we're going to have to answer to for our sins. You better follow God. Their faith, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Did you know the devil, one of his biggest tools to use against you is fear? But the Bible teaches us to fear God, don't it? Listen, the devil, friend, he'll tell you people are gonna call you a holy roller. They're gonna mock you. They're gonna scorn you, and he'll put fear in your heart to try to get you to back off of being a Christian and living a Christian life and walking the Christian walk and talking the Christian talk. He loves to use fear on God's people. Oh, but listen, friend. Listen, their faith and their fight. They didn't care. They didn't care about the king. They had a son that was a heritage of the Lord that God had given them. And friend, they said, we're gonna do our best to save our son. And they fought for it. Let me tell you, friend, we got kids that we need to fight for. All these little old children sitting around in here, we're gonna have to fight for them. Listen, we wrestle against not flesh and blood, friend. Against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. And guess what? The devil wants these kids right here. He's the thief. He's the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And friend, he's doing a good job in a lot of homes today of taking people's children and ruining their lives. And if you're going to spare them, you're going to save your kids, friend, you're going to have to fight for them. Good way to fight, friend, is to be at church. Set a good example before them. Pray at home. Let me tell you, friend, the first school of faith begins at home. Not down at the church house. It begins in your home. They need to see faith, the actions and the demonstrations of faith down at your house. That'll shape, that'll mold their life. That'll help them, friend, to get that foundation that they need. Can I tell you, friend, that notice this that was said right here. It says, they saw that he was a proper child. Listen, your child ought to be so near and dear to your heart, friend. I mean, listen, they saw he was a proper child. I don't know exactly how to interpret this passage right here, but a child is special. A child is special in God's eyes. Listen, a child is precious in the sight of God. It ought to be precious in our sight. Not just those in my house, but those in your house. Ought to be precious to me. And listen, we ought to fight for them. We ought to do all we can for them. To get them to Christ. To get them to a place of salvation in their life. And realize, friend, that God has a plan for each and every one of these children right here. God had a plan for Moses. Moses was going to grow up and he was going to be a deliverer by the hand of Almighty God, friend. And I wonder, all these little boys and girls sitting out here tonight in this audience, I wonder what kind of plan God has for them. And I wonder how we're going to work in God's plan to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and get them to a place where God can use them. We better be fighting for them. Moses' parents, they didn't fear the king's commandment. They said, we're gonna do what we think's right. Oh, listen, we live in a day when the devil, friend, he is the prince and power of the air. He's the god of this world, the little god of this world, friend, and he wants your kids. He wants your kids. You're going to have to fight the good fight of faith if you're going to save your kids. Oh, it's just as God has a plan, Satan also has a plan. He plans to take them. He plans to ruin them, to destroy them. You better realize, friend, that we're in a day, we're in the last days when Satan is raging in this world today. It's amazing to me the things that is going on in this world today, that from the time that I was a little boy and how wickedness has progressed through time. And this world has so many snares and traps, entrapment for a child today. It's amazing to me. Their faith, their fight, their foundation. Moses' parents had been under Egyptian bondage. Close to 400 years they'd been over there. But listen, they retained faith. They didn't have a Bible like you and I've got. They didn't have a church house to go to on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. But they had the Word of God that was handed down from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and through the patriarchs of old right there. And they believed God. They didn't just believe in God. They believed God. You know what they believed? The word was given to Abraham that the children of Israel would be under bondage 400 years and God would bring them out. And I believe they had a calendar. And I believe they realized, friend, that the 400 years was just about up. And maybe when they looked at their little old boy, they thought, well, maybe this will be the deliverer. Maybe he'll be the one to bring God's people out from under bondage. They believed God. They had a foundation of faith that would not waver no matter what the circumstances, no matter how bad the times were. They believed God. And they, listen, friend, they raised that boy for what time they had him there in an atmosphere of faith, and the actions of faith were all about him there, friend, in their home. In their home. It made a difference. Moses had that same word hidden in his heart. He had that same word that he could stand upon and know that God had spoken about the children of Israel, about bringing them out one day. Listen, you better get this thing built in your children, this thing of faith. They better know that your God's real, that your Redeemer lives. They better see Him not just down at the church house, they better see Him down at your house. And in your heart and in your life as you raise them. Yes, let me tell you something, friend. A child, when God gives you a child, friend, He'll hold you accountable for how you raise that child. You better listen to me. You better listen to me. He's going to hold you accountable for what you do with his heritage. The stewardship of Moses' parents by faith. By faith, they were moved to do what they did in raising Moses. And may I say this too. They only had him for just a short time. Can I tell you something, mamas and daddies? You've got your kid for just a short, short time at your house. You better do everything you can every day to seek God's face and His guidance in raising your children. Because God means business about children. Not only the stewardship of Moses' parents, but now the selection of God's purpose. Notice what it says about Moses now. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There came a time when Moses didn't want to be identified with Egypt. There came a time when Moses realized that his bloodline went back through the Hebrews, and he chose to stand with them. Choices. I'm talking about faith choices tonight. Choices that we have to make, just as Moses did, just as all these other men of God in this chapter right here. They had to make just choices. They had to make decisions about what direction they were going in life. First of all, I want you to notice that the Bible says in verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin is something that's rampant in our day. Sin is something that's on every hand, and temptations are on every hand, friend. And we have to make a choice every day of where we want to indulge in sin or we want to separate ourselves from sin. We have that choice. God gives us that privilege and that responsibility to make that decision. Moses, friend, he chose not to go into the pleasures of sin, which were just for a season, friend, but to suffer affliction with the people of God. His people were afflicted. Can I tell you something about Christians today? In the last days, this world is mocking Christianity. Listen, there used to be a time when Christians were respected. Preachers were respected. But now, this whole world in the day we live today is making a mockery out of Christianity. That sin has become so rampant and man is indulged in so deep in sin that Christians are a mockery to them. They want nothing to do with Christianity, this old world today. But Moses, he chose to reject the pleasures of sin and to follow a pattern of suffering, to identify with the people of God. Don't think it's strange if you have to suffer for the name of Christ. And we don't even know what suffering is in our country right here. Probably the worst suffering that we'll do is somebody hurt our feelings. Somebody may call you a holy roller and hurt your feelings. Somebody you try to witness to might say, whoop, I don't want to hear that. But did you know over in Egypt and over in the Middle East right now that Christians over there are being put to death by the Muslims? Churches, Christian churches are being burned to the ground. People are being killed over there for the name and sake of Christ. We don't know what suffering's all about. But I'm glad to be identified with Christ. And I hope to God if something like that takes place in this country right here that we have enough faith instilled in our kids, friend, that they'll die for the name of Christ rather than reject Him and follow some other religion. Oh, listen to me. The afflictions, the reproach of Christ. You will, if you live for Christ, you will be reproached sometime or another. Somebody's going to make fun of you and hurt your feelings. Listen to me, friend. Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And listen, they spit on Him. They done everything to Him that they could do, possibly do. So don't think, friend, that you're going to walk through life in a little bed of roses and everybody's going to pat you on the back for being a Christian. They're not going to do it. The selection of God's purpose. I want you to notice this. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, the Bible says this. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that thou and thy seed may live. Sounds like they were faced with a decision, don't it? They were faced with a choice. Blessing or cursing? Life or death? He said, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. Well, listen to me, friend. The selection of God's purpose. Did you know selection also includes rejection? If you select to follow God, then you're going to have to reject following Satan and the path of his temptations and things that he sets before you. You better choose the faith life and the faith walk. You better select that. The selection of God's purpose for his life. God had a purpose for Moses. He didn't yet really understand, I don't think, what it was or how great a magnitude, a great a man of God that he was going to be. But he chose to go with God's people and to wait on the hand of God in his life. The pleasures of sin or the pattern of suffering. Boy, he had it made. He had all of Egypt at his disposal. All the wicked pleasures of Egypt, he could have indulged in them. But he chose to go the opposite way. Wonder which way we would have went if we'd have been in Moses' shoes. The pleasures of sin, the pattern of suffering. How about Egypt's crown or heaven's crown? One writer I read said that if Moses had a stuck with Egypt, if he'd have stuck in there with Pharaoh and Pharaoh's daughter, that one day he would have been a Pharaoh. He would have been wearing Egypt's crown. Can I tell you what the Bible says? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Amen. That's right.
Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Pharaoh is in hell today, no doubt. He'd give all of Egypt's gold today if he could just get out of hell for 1 minute.
Amen.
Moses. Oh, he saw the crown of Egypt that he could have worn. But he also looked beyond that by faith. And he saw heaven's crown. And I believe in heaven, no doubt he's a great man. You know, the devil today is, he'll present to you an earthly crown. He'll present to you, and listen, we've swallowed his bait oftentimes in our lives. We let our lives be run by things material, things carnal. And oftentimes the things that really matters the most in life, the spiritual things, we just have just a small portion of our lives to give to God. What about you? What about your life tonight? Are you after Egypt's crown or are you after heaven's crown? There's some crowns going to be handed out one of these days. You need to study what God's Word says about obtaining those crowns. One of them, if you love the Lord's appearing, if you'd love to see the Lord come back, there's a crown for you. A crown for you. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. There was a man in the Bible. He came out of the wilderness of preaching, preparing the way of the Lord. Listen to me now. He never had earthly treasures. He was preaching the Word of God. He didn't have a church. He didn't have a choir. Listen, friend. All he had was just a spot down by the Jordan River. A little spot of ground down there preaching the Word of God. And he never rose to great fame in man's eyes. But listen to what Jesus said about him. He said, greater man hath not been born of woman than John the Baptist. Greater than Abraham. Greater than Isaac. Greater than Jacob, Joseph, Moses, all of them. Jesus said, greater man hath not been born of a woman than John the Baptist. But he never had an earthly crown. We strive for the wrong things often. We better be seeking to please God in the choices we make in life. Egypt's crown or heaven's crown. Things temporal or things eternal. The Bible says he esteemed the reproach of Christ. In other words, he weighed it in a balance. Do I want the reproach of Christ or do I want all these treasures over in Egypt? We have a choice to make in life. What's going to rule and run your life? If you follow the carnal path through life, if that outweighs Christ, then you're headed for a ruin. You're headed for a loss. One day down the line, you're going to have to lay all these things down. Moses, by faith, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. He esteemed the reproach of Christ. greater riches than all the treasures that Egypt had to offer him. That's where he said, I'm going with God. I'm going with God. You better make sure that you go with God in your life. The stewardship of Moses' parents is a selection of God's purpose. But then lastly, the seeing of God's person. The seeing of God's person. In verse 27, the Bible says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Whoa! He persevered as seeing him who is invisible. And that's what's going to keep us going, friend. If we can just see Him through eyes of faith and through the Word of God, friend, if we can keep our eyes on Christ, our eyes of faith upon Christ, friend, and persevere, friend, one of these days we'll see Him face to face. Moses, the Bible said, he forsook Egypt and he saw Him who was invisible. Who did he see? He saw Christ. He saw Christ. He saw Christ, the one that was promised to Adam and Eve. The one that would come from the seed of Abraham. Moses saw Him just as the Bible says it, that Abraham longed to see His day. He saw Him and was glad. Moses saw Him the same way that Abraham did. Through eyes of faith. Glad I can see Him today. Through eyes of faith. I can see Him through the Word of God. I can see Him through even through the things that's taking place in the world today. I can see Him. Can you see Him? Can you see Him today? He saw them, Him who was invisible. Yet it would be some 1,500 years before Christ would be born. But by faith, He forsook Egypt as seeing Him who was invisible. Can you see Him today? Can you see Him today? This Bible right here tells me that He's soon to come. Can you see Him coming? You better get your eyes set. Listen, friend. You better get to looking up, for our redemption, friend, is drawing nigh. By faith He saw Christ. By faith He saw Calvary. Verse number 28 says, through faith He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. The sprinkling of blood. You remember back over there in Egypt, the great Passover? God told him to take a lamb of a year old, to kill it, to sprinkle the blood upon the doorpost. God said at midnight, I'm going to send a death angel through. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Oh, this was a type and a shadow of Calvary, friend. And Moses saw that when the blood was sprinkled, I believe, upon the doorpost, friend. He looked down through eyes of faith to a place called Calvary where God would supply His lamb upon the cross there. Friend, and then He would come off of that cross and He would sprinkle His own blood on the mercy seat in heaven for sinners like you and me. Moses, through eyes of faith, was able to see that. Oh, listen, he kept the Passover through faith, the sprinkling of blood. By faith he saw Christ, by faith he saw Calvary, and by faith he saw a crossing. It says, by faith, in verse 29, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Can I tell you something about this crossing right here? If you'll look at that story back over there in Egypt land, Pharaoh was on his trail. Pharaoh is a type of the devil. Pharaoh was a chasing him, and it seemed like he'd come to a place of a crossing, friend. The Red Sea was there in front of him. It was a place of death. The devil and death. But listen, friend, God parted the waters and they crossed over on dry ground, and that was as far as the devil got. He drowned there in the midst of the Red Sea. Can I tell you, we're heading for that crossing one of these days. We just got word a few minutes ago about somebody that made that crossing. God has an appointed time for each and every one of us. And let me tell you something, friend. The devil's going to give you a hard time. Listen, I heard one preacher say one time, the hounds of hell will be nipping at your heels when you leave out of here. But he can only go so far, friend. When God lets you cross over, friend, on that good dry ground, friend, that's as far as the devil can go. Ain't you glad of that? And we are heading across that river one of these days, friend. We are heading across there to the land of promise. God has prepared for us. Faith choices. Faith choices. See, Moses, his experiences in Egypt, death was on his trail. In Exodus chapter 1, you'll find that he was faced by death there. God delivered him. In Exodus chapter 2, Pharaoh sought to kill him when he was a grown man. Then his last encounter with Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, don't come back here again, boy. Next time you see my face, you're going to die. You see, death's on everybody's trail. But let me tell you something, friend. Moses chose not to die in Egypt. Don't die in Egypt. Listen, if there's somebody in this house tonight lost, don't die in Egypt. You better get with God. You better follow faith to the old rugged cross. Let the Lord save your soul, friend. Don't die in Egypt. Pharaoh and all his army died in the midst of the Red Sea and in hell. They lift up their eyes, no doubt. And they're there today in that place. Faith choices. The course and quality of our life. Listen to me now. The course and the quality of our life is often determined by the choices we make. You better make choices that are based upon Bible faith. You hear me? If you don't get anything else tonight, you listen to what I just said. The course and the quality of our life is often determined by choices that we make. And you better make faith-based choices in your life. You better seek God's will and God's way and God's Word. Amen. Well, I'm through. Stand with me.